Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Whatever Christ did, he did to comfort you. So today is more than just simply Christ returning home. It's more than simply his coronation as king. It's more than simply his reward for his faithful work here on earth. It's more than simply the conclusion of his earthly ministry. It is all those things, but it is more than those things. Our Lord ascends into heaven with his body for you, to comfort you, to love you, and to show you the salvation that he has won for you, so that you too might be assured your body must ascend into heaven to be with him. For he is Jacob's ladder. He is the gate, the door through which you enter. So clap your hands and shout to God with the voice of triumph, for today is a day about your salvation. When your sins pursue you, be comforted by our Lord's ascension. Nothing could hold him here, so no sin could hold you here. When trials and troubles harass you, be comforted by our Lord's ascension. For he has ascended to the right hand of God to rule all things for your eternal good. When you feel alone, be comforted by our Lord's ascension, for he is with you always to the very end of the ages. When death frightens you, be comforted by our Lord's ascension, for as he bodily ascended into heaven, so must you bodily ascend into heaven. And nothing, not even the gates of hell can stop you. But sadly, this day has been diminished in the church. Few celebrate it, even fewer understand it. Most think our Lord's ascension is about him leaving us, that he is now stuck up in heaven while we linger here below, and we are simply waiting for him to come back to us. Or to put it perhaps more accurately, his body is stuck in heaven while his divine nature is present with us. Many, far too many, think that. But does this not divide Christ and create two Christs, one who is with us and one who is absent from us? And if this were true, would we also not be robbed of our eternal Savior and Redeemer? For it is by his blood that he has reconciled us to God, and by his blood that he cleanses us even now from every sin. So if Jesus' ascension means that he is now split up and no longer with us, then he stops being the God-man, and so he stops being our Savior, our Mediator, our Redeemer. May it never be. Today does mark a change, but not a change in who he is. It's simply a change in how he is present with his church. After his incarnation at Christmas, he was visibly present in a state of humiliation. He needed food and drink and sleep. He could bleed, suffer, and die. This is how he wins salvation for us, by setting aside the full use of his glory so he might die in our place and we might have his righteousness. After his resurrection, he was still visibly present, but no longer in humiliation, for now he begins to make full use of his glory. And so he simply appeared in rooms with locked doors. He needed no food, drink, or sleep. He comes and goes as he pleases. He could no longer suffer, bleed, or die, for that was all accomplished and won and satisfied. Today marks another change, for he is no longer visibly present, for now he begins to make full and constant and complete use of his divine nature and glory all of the time. It would be too much for us if he were to show himself like that. Too much, for he has ascended to the very right hand of God. But he has not set aside our human nature. He is still God and man. He is still the Son of Man, the Son of Mary. And everything that this Jesus does, he still does through his human nature. He never acts apart from it. He never works without it. He's never absent from it. So wherever you find the Son of God, there you find the Son of Mary. They are inseparably united in one person. So he is not stuck up in heaven somewhere. Besides, St. Paul writes, he ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. He is not confined to heaven the way that the departed saints are confined to heaven, but he fills the whole universe. He is present everywhere. He was received by heaven, but he did not stop there, for he is heaven's creator. Rather, he ascended to the very right hand of God, that position of greatest power, glory, and authority. And he sits there at God's right hand as your brother and your savior. So he, the God-man, he, the Son of Man, knows all things. He is present everywhere. He has all divine glory, majesty, wisdom, and strength. You believe that Jesus knows all things, so also believe that Jesus is present everywhere because of this personal union. So the humanity of Christ, his flesh and his blood, are present everywhere. But as I said before, today is more than just Christ exercising the fullness of his glory. It is more than that. It's about him exercising the fullness of his glory, wisdom, strength for you, to save you. Whatever he does for you to comfort you and to lift you up to himself. The cloud may have hid him from sight, but that cloud did not remove him from you. He is still very much present with you always to the very end. And not just his divine nature, but his body and his blood are very much present with you. The blood that cleanses you and sanctifies you from all sin. For he is always God and man. He is always the Son of God and the Son of Mary, your Savior and your Redeemer. So wherever you find yourself, whether at home or at work or on the road, wherever you find yourself, in the desert or in a city, wherever you find yourself, all alone or surrounded by too many people, in the depths of the sea, or even if you travel to outer space, there is the Son of Man, present to guide you, protect you, love you, comfort you, and save you. He will never leave you, regardless of where you go. We often wish that we could see Jesus as the disciples saw him with our own two eyes. But we are more blessed than they are. We don't need his miracles. We don't need to hear him speak to us the very words. For he has ascended to the right hand of God to continue to do those things for us. And he is no longer in a state of humiliation where he can suffer. But he is in a state of glory, promising that we too will enter into that glory with him. And so on the day of his ascension, he sends out his apostles to preach so that through their word, Christ himself may be present with you always. He sends them out to baptize so that you might be clothed with the ascended Lord. He sends them out to serve the Holy Supper so that God himself, the flesh and blood of God, might be with you always in your mouth and in your hearts and in your bodies. Wherever two or three gather, that's it, two or three, wherever the word is preached and the supper rightly administered, there Christ is present with his body and his blood. He is not visible, for he has ascended into heaven. He has sat down at the right hand of God, and it would be too much for us to handle. He doesn't hold back any longer, so he hides. He hides behind bread and wine, behind word and water. He hides so that he might use the fullness of his glory, majesty, so that he might use the fullness of his Godhead to comfort you, to protect you, to guide you, to love you, and to save you. So nothing can harm you. Nothing at all. Nothing can stop you, not even the gates of hell, not even Satan himself. Nothing can stand in your way. For Christ has ascended, and you too must ascend into heaven. You must. For where the head has gone, there the body must follow. So clap your hands and shout with the voice of triumph. For Jesus has not left you, but he is with you always. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.